Let's begin. We're talking about the body of Christ, and we're going to be talking specifically today more about the difference in the gospel that was believed by those Jews and Greeks in the Acts period before Paul was sent to all people, when he was sent to the Jew first and also to the Greek. What is the difference that they believed to be saved? Okay, and let's start off. I don't have anybody to post verses, so if someone could post, that would help us all. The verses are on page, I think it's page 14 of the website there, the first website in the banner. In Acts 13, there was a work, it's called the work, and that remnant ministry going on through most of Acts. The work was from shortly after the time of Acts chapter 9, when Paul was saved, Saul of Tarsus was saved, and separated unto the gospel of God, and the body of Christ began. It was from then, the work was from then, until that saving message was no longer sent only to the Jews and the Greeks, but was sent to all people. And I emphasize the word sent, because that's what it was. It was not a restriction. Paul could talk to who he wanted to, and with the gospel that he wanted to. But as you read through the Acts period there, the Acts record, I don't find him talking to anybody that wasn't either a Jew or a blesser of Israel in some way. So, or else he was giving the gospel to someone that came to him that he wasn't going to. He was sent to the Jew first and also to the Greek, though, with that gospel. And that's what the gospel was sent to. So the work, let's read the verse, Acts 13:2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto the work. For the work whereunto I have called them." So there was this work going on, and it's got about three names, that period and that series of events. The work is Israel's viewpoint of it. It's Israel's side of it. There's another term in the Bible that's Israel's side of it, that would be the diminishing after the fall, until they were cut off, and at the end of Acts, that diminishing covers basically just about the same period. And the other side of it, what Paul was involved in during that time, was a dispensing of the gospel of Christ, a dispensation of the gospel of Christ, as is during that same period. So the pattern of God's acting to save Paul, his act of saving Paul, when he did that, we're looking at Paul and seeing in him first Christ showed long suffering in saving the chief of sinners for a pattern. Saved him for a pattern. If the chief of sinners can be saved, then you and I can be saved that way. It was for a pattern. And the saving was the pattern. We can be saved in that same way, following that same pattern that Christ first set up with Paul for us. Paul was the first, the foremost, the chief, as the word means. He was the first copy to be turned out. He was the first to use that pattern to take God up on his offer of salvation by believing that Christ died for his sins, for my sins, your sins. 1 Corinthians 15:3, Christ died for our sins. Paul's post-Acts epistles were written after he had received information in his temple vision from Jesus Christ about soon being sent to all people. And that's a understanding It doesn't come right out and say that, but it was obvious that he received that information between two other events showing that it was in that temple of vision that it was narrowed down to, that that's when he received it. Paul starts Ephesians 1 verse 12 talking about himself and the people from the synagogues who had believed his preaching in Ephesus back in Acts 18 and 19 when he went there and visited. Ephesians 1:12 says that we, that's those Jews and Greeks in the synagogue and Paul, we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Those people in Ephesus in Acts 18 and 19 were those who first trusted in Christ in Ephesus. We see in Ephesians 1:15, chapter 1, verse 15, that the writing of this epistle to the Ephesians is later than Paul's visit, either of his visits to Ephesus. Now, some people say he made three visits to Ephesus, but as I understand it, what they're talking about, the third visit would have been when he got close to Ephesus there in Miletus and called down the elders from Ephesus to Miletus and talked to them. Right at that was, I think, the second place he visited after he was sent to all people, and he gave them, you know, gave them what he had to give them, the information that he was going to all people, and that spread. When they went back, other people were saved, not Jews and Greeks, but plain old heathen, alien Gentiles, which is what Paul is writing to here. He says, "I heard of your faith," as we read in Ephesians 1:15. It's written to people who had not heard Paul and who Paul did not know. He said, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints." So here, Paul shifts and starts talking about later believers that he did not know, but that he had heard about, as it says in verse 15. And, you know, after his later sending to all men is when the word spread to these other people and they heard. Paul wrote the epistle to the Ephesians after Christ appeared to him in the temple to tell him that soon he would be sent to all people. And these believers in Ephesus were not the same people. They were different people than the earlier believers in Ephesus that had known Paul in Acts 18 and 19. In Ephesians 1:13, the verse following what we just read, Paul is talking to Ephesians at that new church at Ephesus that he had not been to yet. And these were new believers in Ephesus after Paul's Acts visits, after he had completed his Acts visits. And it was not the earlier God-fearing Gentiles in Ephesus. Let's look at Ephesians 1:13. In whom you also trusted. So the believers in Ephesus and Paul were the first, during the Acts period there, they were the first to believe in Ephesus. And then here in verse 13, he says, in whom you also, not we, but you. That would be those who he's writing to that he has not met yet, but he heard of their faith. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So there's a good definition there. We know that the word of truth is the gospel of your salvation in this case. And in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Notice it doesn't say sealed by that Holy Spirit of promise. He doesn't take a material or a promise or whatever and seal you with it. He is the seal. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. In Ephesians 1:13, in effect, this is what Paul is saying. Christ, in whom you people who did not hear me preaching to the Jews and the Greeks, the blessers of Israel, in the synagogues in Ephesus, you people that were far off and away from God, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So there was a joining, a confluence of the two conditions of believers in Paul's gospel, believers in Paul's gospel. And it was, you know, after he was sent to all people, there was this difference in the backgrounds of the two conditions of Gentiles. And there was a joining, or supposed to be a joining. There was a joining spiritually, but that confluence is why he writes Ephesians 4, verse 3, to endeavor to keep the unity in the bond of peace. Both groups were saved by trusting the same saving message about the same Savior. Both groups were in the one body of Christ. But we see there was a difference in the starting level of understanding of the two groups. Those believers that Paul preached to when he visited Ephesus in Acts 18 and 19, before the end of Acts, they had a knowledge of who their Messiah was to be. They knew who to look for. They had the prophetic scriptures. They had gone to the synagogues. They had blessed Abraham and his seed Israel. They knew about a coming Messiah, a Christ. But in addition to them, there were those former Israel cursers who had later heard and believed the same saving message. Paul did not know about those believers until he heard about their faith, Ephesians 1:15. They were not the same believers that Paul had preached to in Acts 18 and 19. So I hope that's understood. Those people were just like you and me, the ones that came along later, in that they had not learned from Israel about a coming Messiah. They just were people that knew they were not right with God. They knew that God-shaped vacuum within them was not satisfied yet. They were hungry to find out about God. They knew they needed a Savior by God's grace. They knew they didn't make it any other way other than if God would make a way for them, would be gracious to them. And this is what they were given. After Paul's later sending to all men, Paul was preaching the gospel of the grace of God. That was what they needed, what we needed. It was the same saving message within that gospel as in the gospel of Christ. It's just that now it was sent to everybody. It was sent to us, not just to Israel. There was no longer any distinction as there had been. There is no Israel or any nationality in the body of Christ. There's no American, no Italian, no Israelites, no Arabians, no Chinese in the body of Christ. There are former Israelites, former Americans, former Italians and Arabians and Chinese. We're in the body of Christ. If we are believers in Paul's gospel of salvation, that's the if, the condition, to be a believer. To him that worketh not, but believeth. You see, if you are a believer, you're not a worker. You don't work to get this. It's a gift. And if you're working for it, then you're not believing that Christ died for your sins to bring you to God. We're in that grace. One's nationality is irrelevant in the body of Christ, and it affords no benefit entering into the body of Christ. In Ephesians 1:13, that verse tells that believers receive the promised Holy Spirit, but we need to see that we receive Him instantly. And that's right at the moment of belief. Because if we look further, look down in earlier in the Bible, in Romans 8, verse 9. Romans 8, verse 9. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So we know that since we are his upon belief in the gospel of Christ and the gospel of the grace of God, that we have the Holy Spirit. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. He is none of his. And since we are his, we know we have the Spirit. So after you believe the gospel of your salvation, you are not your own. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. You are bought with a price. Your body and your in your spirit, which are God's, belong to God, in other words. So, since all believers are not their own, but are bought with a price and belong to God, then Romans 8, verse 9 tells us from the moment we are his, the moment we believe the gospel, we have the promised Holy Spirit of Christ. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. So we may have the flesh still, but we're not considered in the flesh. We are in the Spirit. And he's just, in Romans 8, verse 9 here, he has just gone through Romans 6 and 7 that explain how that can be. Because sin is in our members until the Lord redeems us, brings us up to the clouds to meet him in the air, to forever be with the Lord in heaven, in our house eternal in the heavens. But Christ does it. Christ does it in us and for us. We're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So that's our situation today. We hear the word of truth, and we can believe the gospel of our salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So that all it goes to show that these Ephesians to whom Paul writes are different people from those that he knew and preached to in his visits to Ephesus in Acts 18 and 19. We're showing different reasons why that's true and why it's important. Well, let's read the verses that show Christ's sending Paul to a widely expanded target audience instead of just to the Jews and to the Greeks, the Jews and the Jew-blessers. This would be in Acts 22, verse 17, 18, 19. We'll look at 17 and 18 and then 21 and 22. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. And I saw him, and saw him saying to me, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And he said to me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And they gave him audience, these Jews that were listening to him, gave him audience unto this word, Gentiles, goyim, that's alien Gentiles too, not just the Greeks. They gave him audience to this word and then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. So, as we, you know, give it a quick reading, the facts that are related can sometimes be overlooked or missed. Let's review what these verses actually say. In verse 17, Acts 22:17, and it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I was in the temple, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. So this event happened in Jerusalem, not in Damascus. It was after Paul was already saved. It did not happen on the road to Damascus when Paul was first saved. when I was come again to Jerusalem, it says. So, verse 18, and saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. This verse, verse 18, helps to identify during which Jerusalem visit this temple vision event occurred. Get thee quickly out of Jerusalem. Make haste. As soon as Paul arrived at his goal to go to the temple in Jerusalem, Christ immediately told him, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem. So, whenever that visit was, it was extremely brief. Paul's only Jerusalem visit, which fits that description, was in Acts 18, Acts chapter 18, verse 22. And Luke allows only three words for that brief visit. Look at 21 and 22. Or 21. This is still in Acts 22 in the temple vision. He said, and he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. There are a couple things to notice in that verse. Besides the word depart, which we discussed in the previous verse, there are a couple things to notice. He says, I will send, and he said, far hence unto. Now, these are not... don't get worried if people jump on you if you miss, or if they heard somebody misspeak and say that these are far hence Gentiles. They're not far hence Gentiles. They're far away Gentiles, according to Ephesians 2, verse 13 and verse 17. But they're not far hence Gentiles. Far hence is where he's being sent unto the Gentiles. I'm sending, he said, I will send thee far hence. Where? Unto the Gentiles. So, you know, this was timed out. How could it have timed out? There's no timeout. Well, we'll keep trying to get back in, and in the meantime, we'll finish this on YouTube. Looks like it came back up again. Let's see if I can get into the room, and we will continue the lesson then. Okay. Looks like we made it. All right. We'll pick up where we left off. It got kind of bounced out of Pal Talk there. So we were emphasizing the words in some of the important words in Acts 21. Let me just check that. Is that a correct Acts 22 verse 21? And he said unto me, depart, get out in a hurry. In other words, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem. For I will send thee, that's a future tense sending, it's not happening at the time in the temple there, I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And again, it's not far hence Gentiles, it's far off Gentiles, according to Ephesians 2, 13 and 17. But he's saying here, I will send thee far hence, far away unto the Gentiles. So, in Acts 26... verses 15 and 17, Paul describes his Damascus Road salvation experience. And in verse 17, Paul reports that Christ said, now I send thee. So his earlier sending was a present tense sending. It was from that moment on. Christ's earlier sending of Paul stands in stark contrast to Christ's later sending of Paul here in Acts 22, verse 21. At the time of Paul's salvation on the Damascus Road, Christ said, "Now I send thee." But later on, in Jerusalem, in Paul's temple vision, most probably in Acts 18, verse 22, Christ said, "I will send thee." That's future tense, meaning it's sometime off in the future from that temple vision in Acts 18, 22. And those can only be two separate, different sendings of Paul to two different conditions of Gentiles. The first being to those that were blessed by the God's covenant with Israel, because they blessed Israel, and so they got to hear Paul when he came to the synagogue. That was a blessing. One they hadn't expected, but it was a blessing that they got to hear Paul preach the gospel of God, who Jesus Christ is. And when they believed that, they got to hear the gospel of Christ. Welcome to the room. So, according to Acts 26, verse 17, the earlier sending was to the people and to the Gentiles. The people and the Gentiles that Christ would deliver Paul from. Those were the specific Gentiles that he was being sent to, according to verse Acts 26, verse 17. And it included kings, according to Acts 9:15. In Romans 11, verses 5 and 11 and 14, Paul describes that earlier sending to the Gentiles as being to those Gentiles who would be able to provoke Israel to jealousy and might save some of that remnant according to the election or choice of grace. As you study through Acts, you find that those Gentiles were the God-fearing Gentiles called Greeks in his first sending. They were in the synagogues, as you can find in Acts chapter 13, if you're looking for it. It's in verse 16, verse 26, and in verse 46. They're defined as the Gentiles that feared God. Okay? And they're told that salvation, the gospel of salvation, was sent to them at that time. So, Paul's sending from the time of his being saved was a separation from Judaism, his mother religion, to being separated unto the gospel of God. I shouldn't actually call it Judaism, probably. The Jews' religion, what they had going on in those apostate synagogues. But then in Acts 13, verses 2 and 4, a few years after Paul's salvation and separation under the gospel of God, as we see in Romans 1, 1 through 4, a few years after that, the Holy Ghost sent Paul to the work, preaching the saving message of the gospel of Christ in a dispensation of the gospel to that same audience of the Jews and the Greeks in the synagogues. Then, not until Acts 20, verse 6, was Paul sent to all men with the gospel of the grace of God in the dispensation of the grace of God, the dispensing of God's grace. That's good news. That's gospel of the grace of God. And the reason this is important, actually two reasons. First, because that's what the Bible reports. And secondly, because it affects the meaning of Paul's epistles, especially his Acts period epistles, the epistles before he received his later sending in Acts 20, verse 6. So Paul wrote to whom he was sent to at the time of his writings. Paul's epistles before his later sending to all the Gentiles contain information about the body of Christ, as all Paul's epistles do. But there is a big difference. Paul's epistles before his later sending also contain special, individualized instructions that can only apply to those early body of Christ churches that still had in them people who believed Paul's gospel of Christ to be saved, but they had previously been in the commonwealth of Israel and had come from being under the covenants of promise by blessing Israel. Those early Jew and Greek Pauline believers from the apostate synagogues had special problems to deal with. They have no meaning to us, though, those problems. We weren't in synagogues. We weren't saved from, you know, from a hope in the covenants God made with Israel. What about head coverings? That has no bearing on us, but it sure did for those that were trying to win their or witness to their Jewish friends. Eating pork? That's a no-no for Jews. You're going to go and eat pork in front of them? That's something you have to consider. Doctrine needed to be taught to those people, but not to us about that. Eating food offered to idols? Keeping the law of Moses? What about keeping the Lord's Passover? Observing the Sabbath? Observing holy days? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Staying married or not to unbelieving spouses. God covers that. I think, what is it, 1 Corinthians 7, I think, as I recall. Many other issues that were only relevant to that dual culture group. So in Acts 26, verse 17, notice that Paul said, from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. Delivering thee from the Gentiles. How's the verse? Let me get that in front of me. Acts 26, 17. Delivering thee. So he's delivering him from two groups here, or from two types of people within the group. The people and the Gentiles. Unto whom now I send thee. So the ones that he was sent to in that early sending were the ones that Christ delivered him from. According to that verse, verse 17, Christ is often misread here. He's misimplied to have said, delivering thee from all the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. He didn't. He didn't say he sent him to all the Gentiles. And he didn't send him to all the Gentiles unless if his later sending was redundant or else Paul had disobeyed the earlier sending. But if you read down in Acts 26, verse 19, it says, O Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. So the Lord wasn't being redundant. The Lord was giving Paul a second sending, a wider sending, a different sending to all people. So we need to read the text carefully, and it shows that Christ did not say he was sending Paul to all the Gentiles at the time of Paul's salvation in Acts 9, as recorded in Acts 26, around verses 15, 16, 17, 18. It gets into his trial after that, his defense for his trial. But later on, after his initial send, his first sending, in Acts 22, verse 21, Christ told Paul that he would send him far hence to the Gentiles. And we read Israel's repulsive response in Acts 22, verse 22, and they gave him audience unto this word, and then they lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. How about those rites? They were going to kill him because of something he said. Those Jews knew all about the Greeks in the temple, and they were welcome. But the Jews steadfastly rebelled against allowing alien heathen Gentiles from being part of what they considered Judaism. And so they said, away with such a fellow from the earth, it's not fit that he should live. So Paul gets rescued, got rescued by the Romans, and under captivity from that point. I think from that point on, there apparently was a brief freeing of him, during which I think it was Titus that he wrote. And then he was back in jail again, and you read about his execution, a pending execution. 2 Timothy 4, late in the chapter there. Okay, I'm done for today, and we'll continue on tomorrow if things work out as we plan. Any comments or questions?